утра.
I feel very much at home because I was exactly like you about 40 years ago and 40 pounds ago. Exactly. With you. Sitting in some... I'm almost feeling at home with you guys. Beseder gamor. So, let's just focus on one little point. I'll tell you a story that happened to me when I was a little bit older than you. And I'm going to take it from there. Back to something about what the moral says about the superficiality of yoga. That's how Rabbi Weinberg says, I should explain it. When I was about 22 years old, Rabbi Yitzchak Kuttner Zatzal, the Rosh Hashiva of Chaim Berlin, Pachad Yitzchak, he was my Rosh Hashiva. Even though I lived already then in Eretz Yisrael, my family made Aliyah when I was young. And his last 4 years, I had with him a regular kvias, every other Thursday, I sat with him one-on-one with Rabbi Yitzchak Kuttner. Amazing. I never had anything like that before. It was a spiritual therapy. Really. I could sit and tell you stories for days, what happened there in that room for the 3 years that I was with Rabbi Kuttner, Zatzal, or he was with me. And, he let me come into his room, and my life has changed since then. But once, I got a phone call from Rebbetzin David, the daughter of Rav Hutner, and she said it was a Tuesday night. She said, the Rosh Hashiva would like to see you tomorrow at 11 o'clock. So I made my business to be there at 11 o'clock. And the kid said, he went to offer me a shidduch. I was 22 years old. He went to offer me a shidduch. It was a very funny way, the way he presented it. He was very original in everything that he did. So it wasn't like he'll say, I have a shidduch. It's always going around a little bit the bush. But he offers me a shidduch. And he starts speaking about a girl. He says, it's a very good girl. And then he adds, by the way, I want to make it clear, she was once engaged. And obviously she became disengaged. But I don't think that should be an issue for you, because she's not the one who canceled the engagement. Rather, the other party canceled the engagement. So it's great. I knew he was called Lador, and I was a basketball player in those days. I played basketball in the Israeli league. Guys, I was really good. I could have easily dunked at my height. I was quick and perfect control, lefty, righty. Okay, that's a long time ago. I played in the league, so in Taha, which is the Israeli league of basketball, which is compared to college basketball in the States. And so I know I'm a basketball player, and he's got Lador. So I definitely played basketball better than he did, but he did anything else better than I do. And he's pointing out to me that the girl was once engaged and disengaged, but it's no problem at all, because she's not the one who called it off. It's the guy who called it off. So I looked at him, and he asked me, you don't understand what I just now said? He was very, very clever. I said, in other words, she just now explained that the virtue of the girl is that she's not the one who canceled the shidduch, rather it was canceled to her. That's her virtue. Yeah? We spoke in Hebrew. Yeah? That's very interesting. That's all I could have said. That's very interesting. He says, would you think the one who canceled the shidduch is the winner? That word he said in English. And the one who absorbed the cancellation is the loser? That's how you look at it? So I told him, we have such respect for him, and we love him so much. I told him, if the Rosh Hashiva says that that's how I understand, how could I disagree? Do you know what's the difference between me and you? I don't know any differences. I'm looking at it as a Jew, and you're looking at it as a non-Jew. Then he told me something which doesn't come to all of us. He explained to me something, and I said afterwards, he's so right. And I was so superficial and small and an idiot. That's what I was. And I still am. So that for sure. If you think that the one who canceled the shidduch is the winner, and the one who got the no in their face is the loser, you are a superficial, non-intellectual idiot. Don't take it personal, I'm speaking about myself. Why? Why? Like I said, the one who said no. Yeah, he said no. Everybody in Shul is going to talk about that. He just couldn't go on with it, and he had to say no. Poor girl. So the winner is the guy, and the loser is the girl, no, in that case. That's what happens when you think like the Greeks. But when you think a little bit like what the Chassidim have to say, nah, it's a different ballgame for the whole story. And I want to explain it. The Maharal explains in the Sefer Ner Mitzvah, he has a Sefer on Hanukkah called Ner Mitzvah. And in a very uncharacteristic way, he sums up Hanukkah through gematrias, a numerical value. That's not his style. But that's what he did over here. He says, you want to know what's the story of Hanukkah? I'll tell you. The Yavanim defiled the Heichal. The Heichal is before the Kodesh Kedoshim in the Mishkan. What is the numerical value of Heichal? Hey, 65. What's the numerical value of Yavan?
66.
66, 65, close game, but you win. So therefore, the Yavani defiled the Hechel because they have an edge over the Hechel. They're 66, while Hechel is only 65. Uh-huh. However, under the letter Hey, there's a Tzera. No, eyes, which is called in Digduk Nun Gaila. And in Nun Gaila, the way the Rambam understands, there's always a hidden yud, which you don't see there, which is added to the four letters of Heichal, that hidden yud, as if there's two yuds now. And now you say Heichal, and that will upgrade the Heichal from 65 to 75. There's a hidden yud in the Heichal that the Yavanu cannot touch, because it's beyond that. And that is the numerical value of Kohen. Kohen is Gematria 75. So Heichel without the Yud is 65, and the Yavanim have an edge over it. Heichel with the hidden Yud is upgraded to 75, which is equivalent to the three letters of Kohen, which are loud and clear. That's what Ron says. What does he mean? So if I said to explain all the Gematrias will take a while, and today we're not going to do it, I want to focus just on the last one. Kohen is 75. What does that mean? Also, just one more point to add before we go on. The Chashmonaim were Kohanim. That's a fact. Does that play an important role in Hanukkah? The fact that this salvation was triggered by Kohanim, is that important? Or it's so happens to be the Kohanim. They could have been Levine, they could have been Yisrael. And they're Kohanim. Or it's intrinsic. So the Maharal always says that whatever happens in our Jewish history is intrinsic. He has a sense, Dvarim Gdolim Einam B'mikre. Great events do not happen by coincidence. If it was done by Kohanim, it's Kohanim. But it's for sure like that. When we light the candles, we're going to light them on Tuesday night, we're going to say, and then with these candles, I did Kohanecha HaKedoshim. We're making a point, this was done for Kohanim. Aaron HaKohen was told 1,000 years in advance, according to the Ramban of Parshas Baal Yisrael, that your tribe is going to do the next Hanukkah. So it had to be done by Kohanim. By the way, who's a Kohen here? That's it. One right here. The only Kohen in the whole Sefer? Two. Oh my God. Usually it's about 10. Okay. The center, interesting. Anyway, so we have two Kohanim. What's Kahuna think about Hanukkah? Why did Hanukkah have to be done by Kohanim? So the way it comes out is the argument between Yovan and Yisrael is the following. The Kohanim, let's go back a second to the Kohanim. What is the definition of a Kohen? So the Maharal says in a few places, he is the middleman between Am Yisrael and the Kodesh Baruch Hu. He brings our korbanos to Hashem, and he brings the Kodesh Baruch Hu's Birkas Kohanim to us. He's the intermediary between us and the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Wherever the Ruchni and Gashmi meet, that's what Kohen is about. We're physical people. Our Kodesh Baruch Hu is totally spiritual. So who's going to make the meeting point between us and him? The Kohanim. It's a growing condition. The Gilin condition, maybe? The Sass condition? Okay, the Gemara says over there that the Kohanim are Shluchi Didan and Shluchi Rachmana. That's what the Marshal learns there. Our representative to Hashem and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's representative to us. Wherever there's a meeting point between Ruchni and Gashmi, that is represented by Kohanim. And for example, in our if Am Yisrael would be considered like one person, so the heart would represent the king, the eyes would represent the Sanhedrin, and the forehead would represent the Kohanim. That's what the Mal says elsewhere. Why? Because behind the forehead is the brain, and in the brain is the neshama. So where the brain and the neshama meet, brain is physical, the neshama is spiritual, that's what Kohanim is all about. To a certain degree, we're all Kohanim, because we all have to elevate the physical world to a spiritual level, and that's become we're all called Atim Tiulim Amleches Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh. So if you have to combine these worlds, the physical and the spiritual, what number do you think usually represents the physical world? Which number? I'm sure you heard the ideas of the Maral here and there. Which number represents the physical world? Seven. 7 days of the week. There's 70 Ummus Ha'olam, the non-Jews, who are obligated in seven mitzvahs. Their number is seven. What number represents the stage beyond that?
Eight.
What's the proof of that?
Brismila.
A brismila you do on the eighth day. That means it's not natural. A person's born with a foreskin. And there's a change. That's number eight, which represents that higher dimension. The Maharal says in another place, that's what comes from brismila, falls on Shabbos. It's just the proper time, the eighth day. It's Vecha Shabbos, because the Kedusha of eight overrides the Kedusha of seven. Or the Kedusha of 70, 80, when the numbers multiply times 10 and 100, it's just the same thing but more. If your job is to connect between the 7 and 8, upgrade the 7 to a higher level and bring down the 8 to a lower level, then what number should you have? 7 and a half. That's what the Maral means. The coin is 75. That's what it means. 75 is the meeting point between the physical and the spiritual. Avram Avinu was the one that connected the world of our physical world to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When he started his journey, it says the Torah, Avram ben Chamesh b'Shevim Shana b'Tzeitol Mechadash. He was 75 years old when he went on his journey. That's called Bishmai. You know what Bishmai said? He got up Shana Maral 75. That's like super duper Bishmak. Wow. When he said 75, he's not just throwing numerical values. He's telling us a message. If that's what Kohanim are all about, what are the Yevonim all about? The Yevonim are about, and this is a Mefarash Ramban, Pashas Achrimois, says explicitly, they only accepted the tangible. Only something that you can see and touch is real. Anything which is beyond that, it's not scientific. You can't prove it in the lab. Disregard it. Yavan sanctified the tangible. And therefore, they said, what you see is what you got. That's what Yavan said. But there's another expression in English. There's a lot more than what meets the eye. What you see is what you got is one statement. And the other one is, there's a lot more than what meets the eye. It's a stira. It's a contradiction, these two statements. How do you combine both? I don't know. But what you see is what you got, that's Yavan. Am Yisrael says, oh, there's so much more to what meets the eye. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is behind everything, and that's the most important thing in life, and you don't see it. Ein lo guf, ve'en lo dmus haguf. The Yavanim were staging the war on this point exactly. I'll give you an example. It's brought down in Chazal, at the beginning of Bereishis Rabbah, that the Yavanim told us, Kisvu lachem al keren hashor. Right on a horn of an axe. Ein lachem chelek b'elokei Yisrael. We should write five words on the horn of an axe. You don't have a share with the God of Israel. Since when do you write on a horn of an axe? You write on a piece of paper. You write on wood. You write on stone. Well, why write on the horn of an axe? Do you know what the Bible says? You know what they were referring to when they said the horn of an axe? They were referring to Chet HaEgel. Chet HaEgel has to do with an axe. Why are they goring us with Chet HaEgel? What would you say? Why are the Yevonim proving their point from Chet HaEgel? More than Chet HaMeraglim, more than Chet Me'Meriva, unfortunately, did a few sins on maturity. They're proving their point from Chet Egel. What do you think they saw in Chet Egel? Okay, not everybody at once. Lot, lot. Yes?
What should be the tangible?
Great. What's your name?
Yosef.
Yosef. Excellent. Yosef saying, thanks to Chet Egel, they want to call us. Why did you do Chet Egel? Why did you do it? 40 days after Mount Moriah, you do Chet Egel? Why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu didn't come down, and you needed something tangible, so you have to worship the tangible. So you're like us. You only can appreciate the tangible. That's what they wanted to prove from Chet Egel. Right? Now, the Gemara Maseches Brachos says, what word in Nach describes Chet Egel? Atomot Zion, Azavani Hashem, Hashem Shachachani. Hatishkach Isha Ha'Gi'ula, Mirechem Pri Bitna, Kam Eile Teshakachna. Says the Gemara, the word Eile is alluding to Chet Egel, because in Chet Egel they said, Eile Elohecha Yisrael. Do you think it might just by chance put the word Eile, Eile? Eile here, Eile there, you make a bridge. Why do you think the word Eile represents Chet Egel? What does El Eile mean in Hebrew? These, if you can point a finger at it, in plural. The Chet Egel Elohus Habarotso. I'm just talking about something tangible that you can point a finger and say this. But if it's in plural, these. Therefore, the word Eile represents Chet Egel. The antithesis to this are the Kohanim. They say, it's true, whatever you see is important, but there's so much more than what you don't see, and your job is to connect what you do see to the world that you don't see. Therefore, the struggle against the Yevonim was led by the Kohanim. Those who represent 75. Against the Yevonim that say, only what you see is really important. Okay? You know what Rav Hutna told me when I asked him, why is it better? Why is it a virtue of the girl that she's not the one who counts it? I'll tell you what he told me. And then I understood what he meant. And I'm thinking like a Yevon, and he's thinking like a Jew. He said like this. The first 2-3 weeks after the cancellation of the engagement, yeah, it appears that the one who has the upper hand is the guy, in this case, who canceled it. After 2-3 weeks, no one cares anymore. Everybody has their own life to live. But here comes in another chesed. If someone cancels a shidduch because something new surfaced, a new information or a new kind of thing, I remember he told me the words that the book was a rachum v'chanun. He's merciful, and he will judge this person in a merciful way. Something new came up, which he wasn't aware of before. Okay. So he had to cancel it, because Bob will have rachum on him. But if he decided that he doesn't like her nose, remember he pointed to his nose as well. Hey, listen, you saw the nose before. What happened now? Before you didn't pay attention, now you do pay attention. So because you're breathless, you're breaking someone else's heart? This will not go unanswered. This HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to retaliate. If someone did something like that and he was careless, he's going to pay for it. When? 10 years down the road, 30 years down the road with his children, 50 years down the road with his grandchildren, later in Olam Haba, which is even worse. He's playing, the one who canceled is playing with fire. If he had a good reason, fine. If he did not have a good reason, he's going to pay for it. So I'm telling you, you don't have to worry about it here, because the girl's not the one who canceled it. The other party canceled it. So you're not getting dead risks. And I thought it was like, he's so nice. But I was looking at the tangible. And that was what people say in the shul, and the neighborhood, and the kehila. But he's looking at what's going to happen 30, 40, 50 years down the road. The people won't maybe even make the connection anymore. And that's so much more meaningful. So for sure, it's better to be involved with the party who was canceled to than the one who canceled it. Not saying that chaschon, whenever someone cancels, it's bad. But that, you're playing with fire. Once you're playing with fire, you got to see how the fire will happen. Of course, so the Kohani might come in to tell us, don't just see what's tangible. Go beyond that. When the Yevonim said the opposite. And that's what Hanukkah is all about. I want to give you a few examples how we, like I was, like I am, with that story that happened with Whitman, we're so Greek-oriented. We adore the tangible. which is so superficial, and we disregard a little bit the intangible. I want to give you a few examples. There's a family that the daughter got engaged. Mazel tov, mazel tov. We'll be an engagement party. Mazel tov. They're doing a party at home. They got mazel tov. They need someone to come home to help. You know, arrange the stuff, the benches, the tables, arrange the dough. They need someone to help. And they have two sons. One son is a top lawyer in a big firm, and he makes a lot of money daily. The other son is learning in a yeshiva. Which son are they going to ask to cancel what he's doing and come home to schlep the tables? The lawyer or the yeshiva? I'm speaking about us from Jews.
Yeshiva.
Why not the lawyer? Money, money. He makes $400,000 an hour. I lived in Israel 40 years. I guess it. But the one who's learning? I'll make it up later. You know, it's a mitzvah to help. What about the lawyer? Maybe I'll also make it up later? No, no, that's different money. That's another $500. But this one he'll lose. And what about the Torah? They're decided. But there's a song. Timely, timely. Torah spichum, al-pizal, al-chazer. It's a song. Don't take it seriously. It's a song. You put aside on your bank account in El Mama. If you learn 1 minute, 200 mitzvahs hesed per minute of Tamil Torah. Because he passes like the gun, then every word that you could pronounce is a mitzvah. Even if you don't pronounce it, as if you pronounce it. If you learn for 1 hour Gemara without a stop, you put aside 12,000 mitzvahs hesed per hour. And each and every one of these mitzvahs, it says on it, the Talmud Torah, keneged kulam. If you learn for 4 hours straight, that's about 50,000 mitzvahs per day. Nah, we can cancel that for a few bucks. It's okay. A few bucks. A few bucks sounds more real. Really? 50,000 mitzvahs says it. Who says it? The Chofetz Chaim. Okay. He doesn't really mean it. That's who we are. I'll give you another example. In Sao Paulo, my wife's from Brazil. She's Rio. My daughter's from Sao Paulo. I have a lot of Brazilian connections. And there was a big mayor who built there a mansion. He needed mezuzahs. So he approached me and said, I'm doing Chanukah Shabbos in my house next week. Do you know any sefer in your shalom that I could order like good mezuzahs from? I said, yeah, I have a bunch of friends who are sefer. I'm sure I can get it for you. How many mezuzahs do you need? 50. Wow. 50 doors in one house? Well, then that's pretty impressive. You know, chamishim shalem is a big kabbalah, is a big thing. He has 50 doors there. I don't think my friend has 50. I'm not sure he doesn't have good friends. And I said, well, you got 50 mezuzahs. And how are we getting here in a week? I said, no, well, let's FedEx it, no problem. Okay. And then he says, by the way, I forgot to ask the most important question. How much does the mezuzah cost? I said, no, I'm not in the mezuzah business. I think it's about 50,000 mezuzah, a good one. 50,000 mezuzah. Right? $50? I could get it in Sapporo for 20. No, thank you. I'm not interested in the mezuzahs. Okay, fine. Okay, over there in the back. Are you with us?
Yeah.
Good, good, good. I just want to make sure. Okay? So, okay. Again, whenever you ask permission to be chutzpahic, usually you say it's okay. It's a good trick. Do you mind if I'll be a little chutzpahic? Yeah. My wife is an architect, so I know about these things a little. did you pay for the handles on the door? You know, each door has two handles. How much did you pay for the handles? The handles? Want to know the truth? They're Swiss made. They're very special. It's $200 a pair. How are you willing to pay $200 for handles and only $20 for a mezuzah? Why? $200 for handles and $20 for a mezuzah? So why should I pay more than 20? You get them something else for 20. You can get handles for $10. Why are you paying 200? Oh, I don't think it's a fair comparison. And he walked up, he's upset. But I'll tell you what the answer is. Push it. Handles you can see. I want to show my friends how rich I am. So I'm going to get handles that they're just going to look at and say, wow. But inside the mezuzah, who cares? Who sees it? $20, $50, who sees it? I'll sell it for 20. That's Yama. That is Yama. Right there. I'll invest a lot of money in what could be seen and impressive. I will not invest money inside the mezuzah. Who cares? 20 is okay. Fine. Good enough for me. By the way, the outside box of the mezuzah will be silver. Look at that again, because I want to show everybody how rich I am. Heck yes. But inside, who cares? That's what it is. These are examples that we have day-to-day life. I'm sure, guys, you can tell me on your own examples. That what is tangible, what's called a big wedding, a great wedding, if there was a splash of money, you know, it was fancy, and it was out in free singing, and the band, that's a real clutch of a wedding. Man, we are disciples of the Greeks. That's what's tangible and seen as chashuv. Torah and mitzvahs, if you're busy, what's the first thing that gets off? Hakavusah. What's the first thing I cut off today? The shear. I'm sorry, I'm busy today. Don't share. I'm calling my Hakavusah. Hi dear Hakavusah. Today, you know, whatever, I'm sorry. If it would have been a meeting that you would be important to you, would you cancel it also? No. Especially a meeting that you rent money? No. That I'm going to give. It's constant, guys. And I'm going to ask you guys, I want you to give me two, three examples from your experience to show us. Think for a second. That's what is tangible is so important. And what's not tangible, even though we say with our lips, yeah. Very, very close. Oh, yeah. It's not that important. Give me an example from your life. You know what? I'm going to let you think about it for another 3 minutes. I'm going to tell you another story. Another story that happened here in New York in 1975. And then when I finish this story, I want you to give from this row, I want one example, from this row, one example, and from this row, one example. Okay, you want to sit one up? Okay, go ahead. And a very, very fancy place. The wedding, at least in those days, in 1975, was way over $200,000, which is a lot of money. In those days, for sure. And Rabbi Moshe Feinstein says, I was beside the Kiddushin, because the chassan was his disciple. Fine. The mother of the kala was crying before the chuppah, which is normal. Mother's just crying. Okay. Before the chuppah, she went over to Moshe Feinstein, the mother, said, Rosh Hashem, I have to speak to you. Fine. We'll talk after the chuppah. No, I want to speak to you before the chuppah. Okay? Go ahead, what do you want to say? Let's go to the side room, I want to talk privately. Okay? And Moshe Feinstein, and another girl who's not alive anymore today, but his son told me the story, went out to the side room to this, with this one. the mother. And she starts crying. Oy, Hashem Yerachem. From the bottom of her heart, you know, the main avoda of the eve of the wedding is makeup. You know, from your sisters, whenever they get married, she know, it's the makeup. And all the makeup had all messed up because of the tears. What is she crying about? Is this right? The chassan is one of your best disciples and is getting married tonight to my daughter? Yes. My daughter is now allowed to marry him. What do you mean? She's a mamzeres. She's not allowed to marry that boy. I thought I could keep it a secret my whole life. I see I cannot. Wow. What do you do? She's not lying. Mothers don't do this 3 minutes before the chuppah. Wow. Now, I'm just thinking to myself, I'm going to tell you what happened. I'll tell you in a minute. It's not that I was a few times in my life with Sadak Kiddushin. What would I do? So I still have an answer. Whenever you need time to think and you don't have the time, you know what you should do? Make yourself as if you're fainted. It works, I'm serious. You faint. Hot sala, oxygen, blood pressure. You got another good 15 minutes. It works. Till they come, till they go, doctor, doctor, and you're lying down. You know what you can think? Today that you have more vows, so I would call up my Rebbe, and then it's Rebbe Moshe Shapira, and they call up, Rebbe, what do you do? There's the mother crying here. Then your daughter's an observer. One second. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's up there. Wait a minute. My chef client still was there. And he didn't look without getting an eyelash. Halacha, there it is. Yep. To make someone, to declare someone as a mamzer, you need or two witnesses, or the father. That's all. We learn from Sukkot. It's an heaven as a siman dalet seif kaftes. That's what it's looking at. There's requirements, the halacha criteria that have to be met. Rav Moshe Feinstein said to the woman in a nice way, Eina ne'amanis. You know the beautiful thing to say? He went over to the chassan, who already noticed that something's happening. I'll just take it as an example, don't worry. On my achrayis, it's a great shidduch. That's what Moshe said. And usually he would leave the chasna after the chuppah. That's how he became Rav Moshe. He finished shas 800 times. So he didn't stay for weddings. That wedding, of course, he stayed till the end. They endorse it. But now you guys are saying, but the mother's crying. She's not lying. Shouldn't you look into it? Shouldn't you ask the husband? Shouldn't you investigate? Cool it. Nothing happened. But what is it? She was crying there with the makeup. All the makeup got messed up. I saw that the makeup got messed up. Ain't on MS. No problema. It's okay. And he gave a pat on the back. It's a great show. When I got married, I didn't have good Lador give a pat on my back. That's a great shidduch. Buch Hashem, I'm happy with it, but he got Rav Moshe Feinstein, the good Lador, to pat him on the back. I could have said it. No, stop stuttering. No, Einach Nehemenes. It's a Shulchan Aruch. Ebenezer. Simon Dalet. Siv Kaftes. A mother cannot say her offspring is a mamzeres. Shalom Balon. It rhymes. Shalom Balon. That's it. Yeah, but could you just ignore what you saw? Absolutely. Because we look at the world in a different way. The Greeks would have fainted in such a kind of case. The one who has the Greek outlook. The one who has the Torah outlook is most going to say, Gomish Kishen. That's what the Kohanim represents. Another little story from Moshe Feinstein. Then I want to hear some other examples from you. Once he was downing Nukha, and someone saw three downing Nukha right behind him, and there's Abba Amos, and that someone was downing for a very, very long time. And reverse, you have to go to be a tzaddik in a bris milah. And like the people that are supposed to take him to the bris milah are telling him, he's standing there. Deny till you're red in the face, but that's what you're saying. Math is more important. Why? Because it's tangible, it's results, it's university, it's parnasa, it's fame. Gemara, what's the difference? But the Gemara's doing an exercise per minute.
Yeah, okay.
I don't see it. Gemara, if you learn for an hour, it's 12,000 mitzvahs. Invisible dollars. So what are they worth? Beautiful example. Perfect. That's who we are. That's the MS. If one thing we at least acknowledge it, so we know Hanukkah is Tuesday night, and this is what we have to internalize. Don't look at the world that way. Look at the world the way Rav Hutna looked at it with the girl who canceled, the kishon was canceled to her. Rav Moshe finds her with the mamzeres and the mincha. That's how you should look at the world. Even though it looks differently, looks are deceiving. What's the word? Looks are deceiving. They're deceiving. That's what Am Yisrael says. If we would go after looks, you think we would be after 2,000 years of rules? Goyim always had it better than we did. Always. It was always much better to be a Goy. They were persecuted. They were stronger, richer. It was so great. Let's join them. We'll have a much better life. But I'm just, well, just knew better. That's like we're here today. Okay, very good example. May I ask who's one of the boys and what to say, who didn't want to say it, who didn't want to say it, whatever? Which one?
He's a very big
one. A big one. An untangible fellow. You can't say it. Good. What about this corner, guys?
The irony isn't sheer. I can't get him to be quiet. But,
An excellent example. That's such a good example. Woo, perfect. It was good for me to come just to hear that. Let's hear from this one. Yes.
I probably know his stats backwards and forwards, but I don't know any of the. I probably cannot attribute any scene that I pick up from the shelf and know who wrote it or what or the context or know backwards and forwards any septa any safer.
And others from you, do you know backwards and forwards?
No, I know Tim Duncan's stats backwards.
Well, I'm sorry?
I know Tim Duncan's stats backwards and forwards.
I see. That's exactly the same idea. Meaning, where are our values? 100%. Where are the values? It's so true, guys. It's so true. Could anybody really dispute what we're saying here? Isn't it precious that we live in a world that the big on the top walks into the room or to the shul, what we'll say? Probably another snore for you, shut up. That's probably what we'll say. A big greer walks in. You know how much that guy's worth? Wow! Did you see his car outside? Did you see what kind of sports car he has there? Wow! He's really made it. The guy who knows Shostakovich. No. So he knows Shostakovich. But the guy who made it. Wow. Wow, did he make it? We're touching upon another important insight, which also the Maral speaks about it, and Rav Huna speaks about it, and the Pachad Yitzchak in Purim. There used to be an old English expression, tell me who your hero is, and I'll tell you who you are. Who is the one individual that if you're going to stand next to him, you're going to almost faint, but really faint this time? Who's the one that if you're going to stand next to him, you're going to say, I don't believe it! I saw him! So if it's Kobe Bryant, that's one thing. If it's the Chazon Ish, it's another one. Who is the one who's your hero? What pictures do you have next to your bed? A guy in a Harley Davidson or a gun? Tell me who your hero is, and I'll tell you who you are. A big Yisrael as well. A big Yisrael as well. One of your tangible heroes, that's who you are. I remember when I was at Shibboleth again at that time, 1978. There was the Knesset Gdol in Yerushalayim, and we had day after day a 24-hour difference of two celebrities coming to our yeshiva to visit the yeshiva. And we both were very excited. All of us were very excited on both days. One was Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky said something. Okay, to visit the yeshiva. Rabbi Yaakov. You know, in Israel, they never saw Rabbi Yaakov. Here he is. So we went to see, we all went out to see Rebecca Kamenetsky. That was a Monday. Tuesday, the next day, Moshe Reichman came to visit the yeshiva. Then Moshe Reichman was the richest Orthodox Jew in the world. Billions. They both came to visit the yeshiva 24 hours apart. Now we both, again, the boys were very excited to see both. But if you look carefully, and my father Shalom was a professor in social work, so a little bit of training I got in it. It went like this. On one of them you did, and on the other one you said, wow. Or vice versa. On the second one you did, and on the first one you said, wow. But you didn't do twice. First of all, you could develop breathing problems, which is not good. If you go twice in 24 hours, you know, it's not good. But the real answer is, who is your hero? Rebecca Kamenetsky or Moshe Reichman? They're both going to get a Olam Haba. No problem. They're both great Jews. But nevertheless, one's a Yisachar, one's a Zvolun. Who is your hero? Those who had aspirations and learning, they were about to faint when Rebecca Kamenetsky came along. And when Moshe Reichman was going to give a very nice hello, those who had more materialistic aspirations, I want to be rich, I want to roll. rolling the dough. I'll give a lot of tzedakah, but I want to really make it. Millions and millions. So my Shabbat was there. I don't. And they give on him. And I go back to Kaminsky. Hello. It's so true. Tell me who your hero is, and I'll tell you who you are. And ask yourself why that individual is your hero. A lot of times it has to do with what's tangible and seen versus someone who's not tangible and seen. Very good, Rabbi Sayyid. I just want to conclude with this nakuda. It's so true. And sometimes the truth hurts, but it doesn't make it less true. I grew up in America. I know what it is. There's examples that can be brought here over and over again. If internet would have been a physical hazard, a health one, it's only a spiritual one. Don't get burned in hell with it. That's okay. It's something physical? It's only hell? Sadder! Sadder! Don't worry. My Bobby will have someone say, don't volley. She spoke English with the Yiddish accent. It's only Olam Haba and Geno? Sadder! No, I thought Chassid Shalom could cause some terrible disease. No, I'm not saying that. I remember in Israel in the early 90s when they came out with a mobile phone, today they still say it as well. Could Chassid Shalom, if you use it too often, put it next to your ear, could Chassid Shalom cause some kind of terrible disease in your brain? That week, not one cell phone was sold in Israel. It was an Ibn Selomar, Svek, maybe. And yet, not one cell phone was sold that week. Because people heard that maybe this could be dangerous. Health-wise. They stayed away from it. If it's dangerous only spiritual-wise, okay. That's okay. No big deal. No one's going to see it on me. I'm not going to, the next day I'll show them this one. I'm going to have the same nose, same ears. So I'll burn in hell. That's okay. Do you have a good place? Do you know anybody looking at your hand? Hey, the Seder, Gomer. Don't worry. That's Yom. Oy, Hanukkah is to take the spiritual and make it as real as the tangible world. And the truth is, it's even more important than that. That's what Hanukkah is about. The Yavanim pushed the American up. What you see is important. How can there be so many issues regarding the status of women? Because in halacha we say a woman should be not seen. Called for the bas melech prima. She has a tremendous role to play in Israel. We're a maternal religion. We're Jewish because our mothers are Jewish, not because our fathers are Jewish. But if we live in a world that you got to see, and if you don't see, you're worthless. So what about the status of women? They don't read the Torah. And they don't get up and speak in public in the shul, so they're deprived because you don't see them as much. But since when is significance measured by sin? Because that's what the Yavanim said. Who cares about the Yavanim? Who cares? Behind the scenes, the woman is called the vice. And everything is really done through her. Yeah, but that's behind the scenes. No one wants that. That's not called the word. I always say these examples again and again. You know, I'm going to take this bottle as an example. And with this, I'm really going to conclude because you got to go and I got to go. Let's say there'll be a label on this bottle. I'm asking the chilif, if someone comes to your house as a guest and takes off his glasses, you know, it's my age, you have to take off glasses. He's looking for something. Okay, what are you looking for? I want to know which hechsher it is. My hechsher's not good for you? What, you think you're holding it in me? Who are you? Don't you look like this? You don't trust my kashrus? You're all offended. Okay, scenario number two. Put on the glasses. My guest comes over. What are you looking for? I want to know how many calories it has. Oh, okay. That's okay. But you don't trust my food? It's not healthy enough? Well, I'm not putting calories and whatever. Maybe you're not so much. But I want to look into it. Oh, that's fine. That's okay. When it comes to kashrus, well, I'm not good enough. But do you think all kashrus are the same? By definition, I'm sure there's some more and some less. So why can't he look at the cashier's label? He thinks he's holy than thou? But if it's calories, oh, that's okay. Because calories, that's the problem. You see them. You know, you eat a lot. It's calories. Mm-hmm. Rabbi Sayyid, that's the point. I just want to Sorry. I tried to thread. I thought you would notice. Okay. Is it clear what we're talking about? Does anybody have anything to say about this? Does anybody disagree? That's the world that we're living in. Everybody is supposed to be out of sync. And that's their voice. And it's not a Jewish concept. Yes, please.
I don't disagree, but in the whole radio concept, I think that we can put the escrow that we have to do for the yacht.
For sure. I'm not saying that we should totally do this regard for the natural. But the natural does have to see this. But only, first of all, when it contradicts with our beliefs, we disregard it. That's what I'm saying. And second of all, of course, we are people that do identify with it. I'm not saying that you should totally disregard it. But just put it in its proper, give it its proper priorities. That's what I'm saying. Of course, like you're saying, they say, Bitu Mitzvah, you're right. The Meshach HaKam speaks about Pashas Bo. Nachar, you're right. The Meshach HaKam also says, Kol HaKreitra Ba'at Nizor HaNiku Yehudi, the Gemara Maseches Megillah, because if you deny the tangible, you call Jewish. That's what it says. To deny the tangible, it's contradicting something. Stop, of course, it's not the time. Of course, I really want to now conclude. My wife comes from Rio de Janeiro, as I told you. I once went to Rio, when my first son was born, and organized there a group to come study in a chateau. It was the first time I ever done in 1984. Well, Hashem, they became prom, and it turned out to be and once when I came back to Rio a second and third time, I want to ask you how you happened. I met the guy who was already from and became from, and he told me, you know, I discovered the truth, I know the Torah is Mishamayim, but there's one thing I have very severe problems with. I hate Shabbos. So really? I hate it with a passion. Why? All what I like to do, I can't do on Shabbos. I like to swim, to paint, I like to photography, music, computers, sports. I can't do on Shabbos. When Shabbos comes in, I can't wait till it's Abdullah. And once Abdullah's heaven, I say, oh, Baruch Hashem, I have a whole week for the next Shabbos. And Judaism says that Shabbos is the most pleasurable day. I personally despise it. What would you tell him? That's a question that he came and asked me. What would you answer? It's a message of I'm not letting you know. What would you answer for this individual? Who's a real guy? I'm just looking. He hates Shabbos. What would you answer? Yes. I'm sorry, I thought you were raising your hands. Sorry. Yes. Something good on Shabbos. Really, true Shabbos is terrible, but there's other things which are nice. Is that the message? Okay. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to tell what the moral answers on that. And it really has to do with what we spoke about till now. Where's my little brain? I gotta stop, right? Okay. Why did God do that? He said, "Sofra v'shomer" in one shot. Hey, God, you're great. You can say two words at one time. People can. That's what white God wants from. Hey, I can say two words at one time. You can't. Hey, I'm God. Obviously, that's not the case. Why Dr. Mezuchah Meshomer didn't say that? Moses also said, and that's the answer to this guy. And it's the answer, let's be honest, to all of us that have these kind of questions and thoughts. Specifically, because Shabbos is the most enjoyable day, the Torah is giving us a method, a rule of thumb, to really enjoy life. For the Torah sign this. What does Zohar mean in Shabbos? What does it mean? Remember, it's the dues of Shabbos. It's Kiddush. What's Shomer? The don'ts. Right? The dues and the don'ts were said with Dibur Echad. You know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying here? You want to really get the most out of life? Instead of traveling economy, you want to go business? You want to go first class? Instead of economy, on the plane of life? I'll tell you what to do. Zachar v'shamar, the beautiful word of Allah. And he says, let me give an example. This tomorrow obviously doesn't give an example. I'm sure all of you guys, we all love to play basketball. Basketball is very gishmak. Yeah, it's gishmak? Oh, yeah. So you know you got to pass half court in 10 seconds. You can't dribble over your shoulders. You can't double dribble. You can't stay in the paint without the people in 3 seconds. You got to let go of the ball in 24 seconds. You can't. How can you enjoy such a basketball game? I just mentioned a few of the rules. They can't go out of bounds. You can't step on the line. It's a terrible. It's a terrible game. All these smells. Ugh. The superficial answer will be, yeah, but there's a lot of nice things that you can do in basketball, which will outbalance all the no's. There's a lot of yes in basketball, which will outbalance the no's of basketball. That's not the answer, guys. You know what's the real answer? What do you think the real answer is?
The rules make the game gishmak.
It's not despite the rules of basketball gishmak. It's because of the rules of basketball gishmak. Think about it, you'll see. If there'll be no rules, you know what basketball will look like? I hold the ball for half an hour until my quarterback falls asleep. Then walk again, take a ladder, and put the ball in. No one will pay money to see such a kind of game. Would anything prettier? But because there's rules, and because once you let go of the ball, you can't double dribble, so you develop a jump shot. Because you can't stay 3 seconds in the paint, you develop a hook shot. You develop righty and lefty, and you learn how to spin the ball both directions, this way, that way. Because of the rules, not despite the rules. Michael Jordan is thanks to the rules, not despite the rules. So there's something you develop, Air Jordan it's called. He stays in the air for another half an hour. I don't know how he did it. But it's because of the rules. It's not despite of the rules. The no gives birth to the yes. It's not that the yes is despite the no. It's because of the no. And all walks of life looks like that, guys. What's called a good party? We've been in many parties in our lifetime. What's a good one? There's rules. No one can leave before 4 o'clock in the morning. No one can come without a costume. Nobody could come without preparing something. That makes a gishmak. You just roll in and roll out. Morning. Chess. Very gishmak again. But there's rules. No, I don't want rules. I want to do what I want. I want to move the horse one way, the bishop the other way. It's chaos. But because there's a horse this way and a bishop that way and a castle that way, that produced Bobby Fischer for his castle and all these geniuses. Not despite the rules, but because of the rules. The rules give the framework. Because Bob says you want to enjoy life? Take the Zocha v'Shama together. Take the no and the yes together. And use the no as a springboard to the yes. That's life. That's the Zocha. This fellow in the Rio de Janeiro was unfortunately focusing on the no's of Shabbos. He can't do this, he can't do this, he can't do that. It's like I would focus on the rules of basketball. Terrible game. But take these rules and use it as a springboard for the yes. He can't do this, he can't do that. So one day a week, you spend time with your family. You sit and sing with them. You can't do that during the week. You can sit and learn with your children. You can't do that during the week. Take the no and use it as a speaker for the yes. That's Zachor v'Shomot, the Dibur. That's what Malam says. It was said specifically on Shabbos. Don't isolate the no from the yes. Then Judaism will be miserable. Basketball will be miserable. Chess will be miserable, and you'll be miserable. But if you understand that the no is a springboard for the yes, life is so much different. Suddenly, when it comes to life itself, we like to say, don't tell me what to do. I don't want to have any rules. Let me do whatever I want. No. Then it will look like basketball without rules. It will be chaos, anarchy. It won't be fun. I can tell you the truth today. I'm already 54 years old. I'm the grandfather of many children. One of my biggest pleasures until today is basketball. I'm not as good as I used to be. Again, very far. I still have the shot, though. Well, then I still. I wanted to compete against any of you on the shot basis. On the three-pointers, I have no doubt what can happen. With all modesty in mouth. I have no doubts in that. The shot still remains. With the penetrating and going and jumping, no, that's all right. That's all right. That's still so geschmack. That's one of my wife tells me always, when are you going to grow up? Stop it with Westerholm. You already got zany. Forget it. I can't. It's so geschmack. You know, you take that shot and it falls and swish. It's like so special. By the way, I have a chiddush. What happens if you aim for a swish but it didn't happen? How do you call it? My chiddush. You know, take it back, you throw a fadeaway shot, whatever, and you want to go swish, but it didn't happen. Or it went around and fell out, or went around and fell in. But it was not a swish. How do you call it? I got a boy. Swishful thinking. That's good, huh? I had a chavrus in basketball. So many hours we spent there. Hours, years. I'm sure if I would have learned that, it would have been a lot better. But it's definitely one of my biggest annoyances when I was a Definitely one of the big annoyances of Ben Hazen. It's not despite the rules of basketball's geschmack, it's because of the rules. Remember that, guys. It's maybe a little bit sick, but it's untangible, but that's what it is. And by the way, I want to wish you all that you should have a real, meaningful Hanukkah. Share maybe at home what we spoke about today. Think about it. And in Yitz Hashem, you know, Hanukkah comes as a time to connect to higher ideas. And we'll be psyched to really internalize what the Kodesh wants us to be, and then we'll just make us, in Yitz Hashem, happier human beings in this world. Call to what we're